You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, it had all the feel of a very cautious start to August, didn't it, today? World stocks and the dollar rallied after a cautious European morning, and thin summer trading over there led to some sharp swings in the European session. Lots of worries about US gridlock over the next round of coronavirus. We saw factory activity data from China in Asia this morning showing the fastest pace of expansion in nearly a decade. That certainly helped lift China's blue chips. They rallied 1.6%, offsetting some worries about US-China relations. And we started the new month on the front foot, up just over a third of a percent, with gains led by ShopRite, amongst others. Certainly wasn't pretty reading for financials, as I see the indices that were down on the day. Some steam coming out of the recent phenomenal gold rally as well. Financials down 3.5% on the day. The property index down 2.2%. And we saw the big gainer, Resources, up 1.8%. Nick Kunzer, portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth, and David Oberholzer, equity analyst at Nitrogen Fund Managers, have your view from the market. Nick, kick us off. How would you describe the mood on this first week of August?
Yeah, evening, Michael. I think cautious. It was a cautious start. There's a lot to digest. We sort of sat bang still in the middle of US earnings season. Obviously, we've seen the likes of Thursday was the big one with all the techies coming out, the big tech numbers. As you mentioned in your intro this morning, you know, some decent numbers coming out of the Far East. So a cautious start, but I would have to say I'm a little bit concerned seeing what the Rand has done the last few days, and we now have that big number against the Euro is now above 20, looking what our financials are doing. So I'd have to say I'm a little bit nervous. I'm not sure what August is going to bring it, but at the moment I don't think it was a great start.
Yeah, some SA-specific risk coming through in the currency at the moment. 17.22 to the dollar, 20.22 to the euro, and 22.46 to the great British pound. David, understandable given an environment where we are now just any other emerging market. I think Peter Tardman-Tolto summed it up beautifully in the Business Day this morning when he said the story of South African exceptionalism is now a long gone distant memory. We are now just any other emerging market, and if you look at our balance of payment risks, if you look at the other political risks, they are running high.
Hi, Michael, yes. And it's evident, as you said, in the forex markets today, all other emerging market currencies got absolutely knocked down, leaving ground to the US dollar at an alarming pace, and South Africa wasn't any different. We saw slight bounce towards the end of the day, but nothing meaningful. And if you look at the balance of risks in South Africa, definitely more to the downside in that emerging market bucket and very dependent on what the rest of the world does.
Looking at the month of July, I've got a chart with some of the monthly and quarterly and year-to-date moves in front of me from Lister Main Cheese, who's still doing an incredible job down under in New Zealand, enjoying his time in one of the few countries that can call itself coronavirus-free. And Nick, what stands out for me is still gold for the month of July, 23.2% up for the month. Year-to-date, up 115%. To the moon. Is now the time that you'd be looking to cash in that extra gold watch? Are we at the top of this particular gold boom?
Difficult to say. Very difficult to say. Look, I can understand the reasons why gold is rallying. I mean, you look at what's happening with the US, the quantitative easing, you know, the nerves we've got, what the central banks are doing, and the money printing, etc. And you know, but gold, Michael, hasn't displayed that sort of safe haven sort of status or that risk off status for years. You know, gold is kind of, I guess, upon the pun, sort of lost its sort of luster a bit, but. Recently, all of a sudden, it's starting to make a little more sense, and you're starting to understand why you would want to maybe have some sort of exposure to gold. And I'm talking as any investor, really, at the moment. Is it the top of the market? I'm not sure. We're so close to the 2000 level. I think at some point it's going to try to test it. But I think the scene, certainly from a global point of view, looking from 30,000 feet up, I would suggest that the weaker dollar theme is going to come through. And of course, elections, Michael, don't forget that in November. So yeah. I think with these nerves coming in, gold could very well carry on running.
And we already see some gamesmanship between the Democrats and the Republicans on the latest round of stimulus, and that's certainly being coloured to a very large extent by those November elections. And then, David, looking through some of the standout markets, obviously we talk about the NASDAQ and the S&P all the time, 5.5% for the month for the S&P, the NASDAQ 6.8%, but the standout is Shanghai up 10.9%. And no surprises, considering that China was always going to be the first to fully recover from the coronavirus, because that's where the outbreak started. It timed and coincided quite nicely with the launch of the Satrix China product last month as well.
Yes, looking at China, they had a strong month last month. And what often happened in the past is people were under-indexed and didn't necessarily invest the portion of their funds that they should in China. And China is now reaping the benefits from two aspects, where they're stimulating investor interest from delivering continuous returns in the equity markets, as well as strong numbers coming out and a rebound from the coronavirus, possibly stronger than what the market expects. It does look like the market was over negative on the recovery process, and now that correction is taking place and seeing the Chinese market strong and outperforming the US last month.
Some of the big laggards, the FTSE 100 for the month of July down 4.4%, to the CAC 40 down 3.1%, the Nikkei down 2.6%, which makes the Aussies a positive 2.5% look positively glowing in comparison. Let's move on to some company specifics out today. And Nick, what we saw was ShopRite with an operational and trading update for FY20. That's to the end of June here. So this will be through the lockdown and have it'll give you good insights into what happened through the pandemic. Sales up 8.7%, and the market just loved these results. So ShopRite up 9% on the back of these. Still fairly pricey. I think it's at around 15 or 16 times earnings, but you don't often actually pick ShopRite up at that level. So I would still be interested in this, considering what we saw today.
Yeah, those numbers are excellent, Mike. Exactly what you said. And it's so nice to see, I guess, almost a sort of a real-time number. I mean, we're starting getting earnings up to the end of March that becomes so relevant now in this fast-moving world, that getting something like this up to exactly, as you said, during the closed-down period. I mean, group sales up 6.5%, I think. That's up to June the 28th, as you said. Basket spending was increasing. I'm hearing more and more positive things about the 60-60 app, which they've rolled out in around Johannesburg, Gauteng, and some parts of the Western Cape. But as you said, it's actually cheaper than you think, Michael. It's closer to about a 16 current PE. I shot by back, and they always demanded 2022 PEs when Mr. Besson and his team were there. So I actually think the market were pleasantly surprised. Often we see as stockbrokers, the buy the rumor, sell the news. I think it's caught a lot of people on the wrong side of it too, and people are actually buying it. And I think overall, there's very little bad news I could take away from that update. I thought it was excellent.
After a few hiccups of that 60-60, I think they are getting it right. And I'm hearing more bouquets and brickpats for the service. And I think all retailers were caught scrambling with the speed with which they had to respond to the lockdown. Interesting, though, Nick, if you look at the decision to initiate a sale of all or a majority stake in their Nigerian operations. So it wasn't too long ago that that's exactly where all the retailers wanted to play.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but I think also we're so used to, as South Africans, trying to step out of our comfort zone, out of our borders. You almost get the impression, I've had to read about another company going to Australia or the like. You usually short the share and run a mile, and Nigeria was the next big spot. I did find it quite surprising, though, because if anyone was going to get it right on the continent in places like Nigeria, you would have thought ShopRite would be the ones. But strategic decision, not liking it, but the market taking it in stride. So, but it was a bit of a surprise, I must admit.
Yeah, but I suppose the market's saying, well, that's at least a good thing. Stick to your knitting now, because we've seen the horror shows of South African management teams going abroad, and it's a surefire way to destroy value. David, looking at Hammerson, it's another one of those. It's confirmed it's in advanced discussions on the terms of a possible deal to dispose of 50% in Via outlets. It's also considering a possible equity raise by way of a rights issue. And if you just look at the property sector in general, it was another one heavily down on the month and also down on the day today again. So just nothing going right in REIT land at the moment.
No, Hammerson down heavily today. Investors not taking kindly to the news. Having to stamp up some more equity. It is clear that COVID is starting to have a serious impact on the listed property space in the UK, with casualties left, right, and centre, it seems. They're planning to raise about £800 million in this equity raise between the sale of their joint venture and a possible rights issue, which does seem slightly insignificant in the more than £2.5 billion debt that they're trying to offset with the cash they raise. Really just trying to buy a lifeline, hoping to survive the extended impact of COVID, as they also reported that their collection rates aren't necessarily what they expected and coming in under target.
And then Telkom, Nick, if you look at that much overused word pivot, Telkom is now pivoting into launching life insurance. And when you go from selling data and voice contracts to life insurance, the market looks at you and says, well, you may have the rails, but you certainly lost our confidence. Down 7.7% today.
I don't even have time on the show to describe what I really think of this decision. I had absolutely no idea why they'd come up with something like this. It feels like this is a company that's really losing its sort of identity, Michael, or losing its sort of direction. I mean, when the share was up near $100 at one point a year or so ago, it was muted. It was because they were going to spin out their property into a REIT and do something in a property business.
Oh, yes.
And now they're looking at doing something in financial services. I mean, is this a company that seems completely lost its identity from being a monopoly back in the day to it is now? I don't even know where this announcement came from, so I'm baffled, completely baffled.
We might see a tie-up with ByteDance, the Chinese owner of TikTok, sometime soon, the way things are going. We know ByteDance is trying to do anything to save the video sharing app's US operations. I see it made a last-ditch plea to the Trump administration to allow it to sell the unit to Microsoft. So interesting news that. And then just lastly, I want a comment from both of you on the decision, as I'm about to go to Eskom spokesperson Sikonathi Mantshantsha, about the announcement to finally serve summons on the infamous Tegeta 12. Is it a little too late? Too little? What do you make of it? David, let's start with you.
I think it's a step in the right direction. With regards to a little too late, I suppose a little too late is better than no action at all. I do think it is the government trying to save face and showing that they are serious on clamping down on previous illicit activities and cleaning up the act, hopefully leading to an enhanced recovery coming out of the stimulus packages that we've put up in loans from the World Bank and IMF.
Nick?
Yeah, I agree with David. I think maybe it is a little bit late, but it's long overdue. And if you want foreign investment, you want people to invest in your country, you want Mr. Ramaphosa going on about trying to raise $100 billion or the like, and you have to pick up the weekend papers to see what we're thinking about things that are going on at the moment. So I think it is a step in the right direction. And let's hope that these wheels of justice move a lot more quickly than they have done in the past.
Absolutely. Nick Kunzer, Portfolio Manager at Sunlum Private Wealth, and David Oberholzer, Equity Analyst at Nitrogen Fund Managers, with your view from the market.